Father God, we come before you today knowing that we are yours and that you are ours, Father. We come before you expectantly, Lord, knowing that you are going to move in our midst. Father, your word promises us where two or more together gathered in your name, there you are in their midst, Lord. But today, Lord, we're going to focus even further on how you are always with us, Lord. You are omnipresent. You are everywhere, and we need not be afraid. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you today to share your word with these, your beloved people, your children, Lord. And though we may be few in numbers, Lord, I pray that you would minister to our hearts and that you would change our hearts, you would change our minds, and in turn, Lord, you would change our lives and the lives of those around us every day. Father, I pray with those who could not be here with us today, Lord. We pray for Madison, who is not feeling well, Lord, and we pray for the wards who are away on vacation, Lord, and I pray that you would bless their time, that you would draw them closer to each other, and through this time of rest and relaxation, you would draw them closer to you. Lord, I thank you so much for the union of Megan Joy and Ron Hosley, now Mr. and Mrs. Ron Hosley, this weekend, Lord. I pray a blessing over them for this wonderful celebration of love. Lord, I pray for unity in their family, and I pray for your abundant blessings for them. And Lord, above that, we pray for our missions team in Guatemala. Lord, we thank you that they are there. We thank you for their hearts that long to go and minister in your name and make a difference for you and for your kingdom. Father, I pray for their health and their well-being while they are there, Lord, so that they can function at maximum capacity to minister for you to the best of their ability, Lord. I pray for the people that they will be working with, that you will open their hearts, you will open their lives to your love, and that their lives would be changed eternally because of the work being done there in your name. And Father, I pray for each of our missionaries there, Lord, that you would help them and that you would grow them up in you even further than they already are. Lord, so willing to give of themselves, but Lord, you have more for them yet to do. Lord, we are all in process and they are in process. And Father, I pray that as we are in process, we would hear your calling, we would see your direction, and we would feel the need to follow hard after you, to know you better, to be the best us that you have designed for us to be. And Lord, I pray for our children in the nursery and downstairs this morning that this foundation for them, this loving foundation, would be something that would grow and that would last their entire lifetime and change the world for you. We thank you for our ministers there, Lord, and we ask that you would bless them as they minister to our children with your love. Lord, in these next few moments, I ask that you would use us to know you better, that you would pull us into your presence in such an awesome way that we cannot deny it is anything but you and your power. God, I pray that we would be able to leave our concerns behind and focus fully on you and what you want us to know so that we can be the people you want us to be. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. We have been talking about Vacation Bible School. This is our last and final week of VBS for adults, and it has been an interesting ride, and this week all of this will come down, and it will look really naked in here next week when you come in. You're like, where'd all the excitement go? But that's okay, because we can't have this all the time. We would just get used to it and not appreciate it very much. So I'm going to give you a quick recap of what we've been talking about, because that's what you do every night in VBS, and being a children's pastor, that's what I do. The first week we talked about in the beginning, God created the world, God created us in his image, God created us to take care of his creation. And then the next week we talked about God has a plan and he is still in control. It may be thousands of years later, but God is still in control. He's in charge. He knows what he's doing even right now. The next week we talked about incarnation. Incarnation means that God took on flesh, and we learned about when and the how and the why God sent Jesus in the flesh to save us from our sins. The next week we had that God had a plan for Jesus, and he has fulfilled that plan. He's continuing to fulfill that plan, and we are living in that right now. And this week we are talking about God with us. We're never, ever alone. Now, this morning I'm going to share a story with you, and it's not one that I share very often because, well, when it initially happened to me, I was pretty young in my faith, And actually, I thought I was kind of nuts when it happened. But as I've grown in my faith and gotten to know God better, I understand it was a moment, a miracle, a blessing for me. And so I'm going to share this story, and don't be sad because I'm not sad about this story, but I want to share this with you. About 22 years ago, Leo and I were expecting our first child, and we were so excited, so very excited. We had all these boys, and we were hoping maybe we'd get a girl, but we were expecting our first child, and it was a very exciting and special time for us, and it was around this time of year, actually. One night, I had gone to bed, and we lived in Alan Judy Joy's house on Main Street, 56 East Main Street, and Leo was downstairs watching television. Mark and Ryan were in their beds, and they were asleep, and I was dozing off. I was just going to sleep. You know that point where you're sleeping, and you're just kind of almost all the way asleep, but not quite, kind of in twilight, and then you have that falling dream? No, that's not the dream I had. Well, I was laying there, and suddenly, like an audible voice in the room with me in the dark said, "It's going to be okay." And it was like in stereo, like two different voices in my ear. It was absolutely bizarre. And so I woke up like, oh my goodness, and I sat up, and I said out loud in the dark to the room, "What's going to be okay?" And there was no answer. I have no idea. So I sat there puzzling about it for a while. I'm like, what is going to be okay? That's kind of really weird. The kids were asleep. I could hear Leo downstairs watching television. I have no idea. So finally I settled back down, and I went to sleep. And then a couple days later, I was actually a bridesmaid in Jennifer Whiteman's wedding. And that day I was really sick. I wasn't feeling good at all. It's so wonderful when like the people in your sermon illustrations are like right there. That doesn't happen very often in pastoral ministry. She sticks her tongue out at me. No, this is a wonderful thing. So anyway, I was in her wedding, and we've been friends since we were 12 years old, and there was like, I'm totally there because this is really awesome. I'm so excited for her. And we go through the day, and as the day progresses, I started feeling really yucky. I feel really sick. I didn't feel right. Things weren't good. We made it through the ceremony. We went to the reception. We're at the reception. I made it about halfway through the reception, and I'm like, "Jennifer, I gotta go home. I don't feel good. I feel really horrible." So I went home, and that night I was really sick, ran a fever, felt like garbage. Next morning I got up and went to my doctor's appointment because, you know, it's time to go to the doctor's appointment. We're good to hear the heartbeat for the second time. I'm so excited. Doctor goes to hear the heartbeat. There's no heartbeat. The baby was gone. Don't be sad, okay? This has a happy ending. I was devastated, absolutely devastated. I was so excited. This is just everything we ever wanted. I mean, when I was a little kid, when I grew up, I was going to be a mama. That's what I really wanted to be. And I was so excited, but I was devastated. So my doctor, he's a wonderful man. He pushes the phone. "We want to call Leo, let him know. We're going to have to go to the hospital. We're going to take care of this." I was about 4 months pregnant at the time. I could not do it. So I made the doctor call Leo because they were friends, and I couldn't even say the words. I mean, that was how awful it was. So the doctor explained everything to Leo, told him that we had to come back to the hospital. We were going to take care of this tonight because I was running a high fever. I was not doing well. We needed to get this taken care of. So I went home, and I got some things ready to go to the hospital. And Jennifer showed up at my door, and I explained to her what was going on. And I will not forget this moment ever. It's one of those memories that will be etched in your life forever. And Jennifer gave me a big long hug, and Jennifer's not a hugger, by the way, and she said to me, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." It's the second time I heard it's going to be okay. So then I went to the hospital. They kind of put me under out. I don't remember anything. Baby was taken. I woke up in my room next morning, and the doctor came in and discharged us home. And I went home, and I was okay initially. I think I was in shock, but throughout the day, the gravity of what had occurred slowly sunk in throughout the day, and throughout the day I just felt myself going, getting more agitated, more upset, more hurt, more grief, to the point I couldn't stand it. So I made it through the day, got the kids dinner, got everyone in bed, and Leo's in bed, and Leo, God bless his soul, he wasn't a Christian then, okay? So his take on this is very scientific. He's a doctor. And he says, "Well, obviously there is something wrong with the child, so it was unable to be sustained, and this is just all for the better, and we can try again later." And he did, God bless his little soul, he did the best he could being of a scientific mind. He didn't know God then, and he didn't know how a mama's heart feels. So everyone went to bed that night, and I could not sleep, and I was wandering around the house in the dark, no lights on, downstairs, upstairs, kitchen, and I was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And I'm, let me tell you, I do not cry. I am not a cry. I hate crying, okay? If you catch me crying, I'm one of three things: happy, angry, or sad. And it's hard to tell which one it is, but I hate crying. I cannot stand it because I know I'm just going to have a headache and swollen eyes later. This is so not worth it. But I could not stop, and I wanted to stop, and I could not stop. It's like a major valve burst. So I go upstairs, and I go in Mark and Ryan's room, and they're in their bunk beds. Mark's on the top bunk, so he was like 7, and Ryan was on the bottom bunk, and he was 5. And I remember sitting down on the floor, and the nightlight's on in their room, and I can see Ryan's little pudgy face sticking out from his blankets because he was a pudgy little thing. And I remember thinking, God, how can I be so upset about this one child that you're not giving me when I've got these two wonderful kids right here? What is my problem? And I was angry at myself because God has blessed me in so many ways. And why am I mourning this so deeply, so terribly? I was mad at myself. And then something happened. And to this day, there are not words in the English language that will ever, ever describe what happened. In the space of a few seconds, I felt, and this word doesn't even do it justice, this unbelievable warmth come over me. Warmth is inadequate for describing what I felt. And the crying immediately stopped. And the anguish I felt was gone. Like somebody had flipped a switch. It was just gone. And I didn't understand it. But every pain and every hurt and everything that I felt was gone in the space of a few seconds. And I didn't feel the need to cry, and I didn't feel that pain. And in my mind and in my heart, I heard God saying, Megan, I love you. And if I cry right now, it's because God is so awesome. Megan, I love you so much. And I love that baby too. And I'm an even better parent than you. And this baby's with me. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I'm not crying now because I'm sad about this baby. I am not. I am crying because God is so awesome. And I sat there just stunned for a few minutes because I could not understand what had happened. I was so young in my faith, but it was gone. The pain, the anguish, the upset was just immediately lifted from me. And I sat there on the floor for a few more minutes basking and then in that wonderful glory, and then it faded a little. And I got up, and I went around the corner into my bedroom, pulled back the blankets, climbed into bed, and went to sleep. One of the most peaceful sleeps I've ever had in my entire life. And I woke up the next morning expecting the pain to return, thinking that this was just a fluke thing that happened. But when I woke up, the contentment was still there. The comfort was still there. The pain was still gone. And I got up, and I functioned. God was with me. And I didn't really tell anyone this story. I kind of kept it quiet. Only a few people in my life know this story because initially when I was young, I thought I was nuts. But I wasn't nuts. That was a miracle. That was a gift from God. And I look back at that time now, and I think how awesome it was. And then, I mean, there's been plenty of times in life since then that have been absolutely horrible. Leo with cancer, Leo with viral meningitis, we're not sure he's going to die. And I would beg God, please, just do that thing one more time, because that was so awesome. Just one more time, God. I could really use that right now. And sometimes in life we feel like God is so, he's right there, he's with us. We're not alone. The same things seem to line up perfectly. The right person is in the right place at the right time for the right thing to happen. And all these things just fall into place, and you know God is with you because you've been blessed. And then there's times in life where you just feel like God's a million miles away. And you can't understand it. And you don't know why. And today we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at our scripture and we are going to see where God really is all of the time, okay? And that is right here with us. He's that powerful. He is everywhere. So I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. And I'm really excited about this. God is with us. Actually, a page is turning today. Wow. Okay, this is what it says. Romans 8, starting with verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are here with us now. We thank you that we don't ever have to go very far or anywhere to trust that you are here with us. Lord, I pray that you would open our minds, break through any strongholds, and minister to us in the ways that we need it most, Father. You know what each individual person in this room needs to take from this message, Lord, and I pray that you would help them to take it, to embrace it, and help it to grow in their lives so that, Lord, they can be everything that you have designed them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the passage today starts with, what then shall we say in response to these things? I'm like, okay, great. Well, what things? Okay, that begs the question, you know, what was the therefore? What's the therefore therefore? Well, this is what things. What things are we talking about here? What we're talking about is our suffering on this earth, our struggle with the power of the flesh and with sin. And then we're talking about God's righteous response in delivering us and in being there for us no matter what. What shall we say to these things, okay? Paul's pattern in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is the author, is question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. If you read through this chapter, you'll see that he'll ask a question and then he'll answer it. Or he'll ask a question and then he'll ask another question that answers the previous question. So if you want some interesting reading for questions and answer time, go through the book of Romans. That's how Paul talks about it, okay? I read this as Paul making a case for the Roman believers to not only understand and embrace but understand and embrace the Christian life, knowing that God is always with him. And I imagine him heatedly and urgently sharing with these people, okay? He's got to convince them of the possibility of living a victorious life in Jesus. To him, this is urgent. When I read this, I kind of tend to read it fast because he's working. He's trying to convince them. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Point number one is God is for us. God is for us, okay? And as I imagine Paul passionately sharing God's message with us, I can feel the urgency. And what he's saying is, guys, look. Look at this, okay? God is for us. How do you know he's for us? Well, for crying out loud, he sent his one and only son to pay the price for our sins. Anyone who's willing to give up his son for us, well, he's obviously for us. He's obviously for us. Would you do that? I don't know if I could do that, okay? And Paul continues, if God is willing to give up his own son, why wouldn't he give us all things? Because pretty much after giving up your very own son, everything else you ask for is minuscule in comparison to Jesus Christ. Sometimes in life, we seem to get in these places in our mind where we feel like God's not with us. He's not there. We don't feel him there. And there could be a couple of reasons for that, okay? A couple of reasons. Number one, first of all, you might not really know God. You might not really know him. If you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you've not asked him to be the Savior of your life, you might feel like he's not with you. And let me ask you this. Why would you even think he's on your side if you don't even like him? Let me give you a little secret. Even if you don't like him, he's still for you. He's still for you. Maybe you're someone who doesn't know God and you don't really acknowledge him on a daily basis, except to maybe casually take his name in vain in general conversation. how. But then, when things get bad and the chips are down, you're going to ask God to help you, to save you, to fix this, to right the wrong, to bless you with something that you really wanted. And the amazing thing is that sometimes God says yes, even if you're not following him. But then there's those times when he says no and you don't get what you want. And then, subsequently, you're completely put out because God didn't give you what you wanted. He didn't answer your prayers when you don't really know him. And I could understand where you'd be inclined to think, well, God's not for me. But here's the real question. Are you really for him? Are you really for him? Now, the other reason that we might feel that God is not for us is because maybe we've been going through hardships for a long period of time, month after month after month, or year after year after year, and you continue to struggle, and you're getting tired, and you can't see, you cannot see God at work. And I completely get it, okay? I completely get it, all right? I know of several families in this congregation in this past year who have gone through months and months of trials and hardship. And you stand there and you say, God, when is it going to stop raining on me? When's it going to stop raining? I'm your child. Do you see what is going on here? Can you see what's going on? Why don't you do something about it? Why haven't you healed this? Why haven't you fixed this? I love you, God. I told you I love you. Don't you love me? I'm faithful. Don't you love me? I was talking to a friend the other day, and she's been out of work for a while due to a serious knee injury. And then in the next month or so, she's got a full schedule. She's got to have this major knee surgery like a week or two before her daughter is getting married. And then following that, she has a major shoulder surgery after this. And these things are just piling up and piling up on her. And we're having this conversation, and I'm like, how are you dealing with this? How are you handling this? And she goes, well, it's just another mountain to climb. And I was kind of surprised at her response, but then, hello, why should I be? She's a Christian. She's a deep, abiding relationship with Christ. She knows she's not alone. Yes, it's another mountain to climb, but she knows she's not climbing it alone. She's climbing it together with God. And she has confidence and faith that she's not alone in this. I was really impressed with that response. Now, I don't stand here perfect in front of you. I've never claimed to be, and I never will claim to be. But there have been times in my life where I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God for healing and asked God for things that I truly, the desires of my heart, God hasn't answered. Or maybe sometimes his answer was no. I'm like, but God, I serve you. I serve these kids. I serve this church. I love your people. I do what you've asked me to do. Why haven't you given me what I want? Are you there? Do you still love me? We all ask that question now and again when life gets hard. Do you still love me? Are you there for me? Yeah, he is. He's there for us. He is for us. He's chosen us. That's what we need to know. Point number two is he has chosen us. This is where we need to go from there. Do you still love me? You have to know that he has chosen you. Romans 8:23 says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? That's us. We're whom he has chosen. Our relationship with Christ didn't happen because we asked. Our relationship with Christ didn't happen by accident. Our relationship with God was destroyed by sin and the original sin of Adam and Eve and the sins that we continue to this day. But God remedies that. He remedies that by choosing us. God made an intentional choice to choose us, to restore our relationship with him, to fix the messes we made and the messes we continue to make. God chose that. I want you to think about this for a moment. Really think about this, okay? Sometimes people hurt us and do things that cause great divides in our relationships, whether it's family, spouse, children, whoever it is, okay? And forgiveness isn't always easy, okay? But it's something. Forgiveness is something that we have to choose to participate in. We have to choose to participate in it. Now, we can remain in a state of unforgiveness, which hurts all of us, but most extensively, it hurts ourselves. Or we can choose forgiveness. We have to value the relationship more than we value the hurt. Which do you value more, the hurt or the relationship? You have to value the relationship over the hurt. And God valued our relationship over the hurt, pain, and torment we caused his son. God values his relationship with us over that hurt. You're chosen. We are the chosen ones. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He chooses us. He sees us as his chosen race. He sees us as a royal priesthood. He sees us as his holy nation of people. He sees us. And sometimes that's what we have to work with, knowing that he has chosen us. It's raining, it's pouring, life is difficult. And at times we might not feel that God is here. We might not feel that he's here. But it is in those moments that we have to rely on what we know of God to get us through. That's what gets us through when we aren't feeling it. Has anyone ever been there in their Christian walk here? I'm not feeling like God's there. Hello, yeah. If you didn't put your hands up, you're not telling the truth. You don't feel him there. It's normal. We go through phases like that. That's the truth, okay? But that's how faith grows, guys. That's how it grows. It doesn't grow in the easy times when we don't have to stretch or strain. You know, it's like exercise. No pain, no gain. It works the same way with faith. That's how it grows. When our circumstances are beyond our control, we have two options. Two options. One, hang on tight to God with all your might, trusting what you know about him and through his word. Or you can turn your back and not follow him and not believe that he has your best interest at heart. Those are your two options. Personally, I don't think option two is even an option, okay? I would rather do everything, good, bad, and indifferent, with God than to try and do life without him. It's a no-brainer. It's not an option, okay? Do it with him, not without him. Remember that God has chosen you. But you need to choose him when you're not feeling it. Choose him. Point number three, God justifies us, okay? Romans 8, 33 through 34 says, "Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen?" That's us. That's us. "It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God interceding for us." Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We talked about justification a couple of weeks ago when I preached last time. God has justified us, okay? He's taken up our sins. He's wiped them away. They are completely gone if you have chosen to place your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and ask for forgiveness of your sins. You did that. It's gone. It's done. It's just as if I'd never done it. But not only has God justified us, but Jesus is there at his right hand interceding on our behalf. Interceding, petitioning. Jesus is petitioning God on our behalf. Let me tell you this, okay? The very one who was sent to the cross to die for our sins, took our punishment, took our sin on his shoulders, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, petitioning for us. We hurt him, and he is there, sitting there next to his Father on our behalf, saying, "Please, Father, forgive them, because they really don't know what they're doing." If you don't find that amazing, you got a problem, guys. That's really amazing. That is amazing news. Our sins that sent him to the cross, and there he is interceding on our behalf. God is for us, God chooses us, and God justifies us. And the last point, point number four, God makes us conquerors. Romans 8, 35 through 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Do you see that, guys? Do you see it? No hardship, no persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword will separate us from God. Why? Because he has made us conquerors. And actually, it says he has made us more than conquerors. More than conquerors in Christ. And that tells me that we are more than going to kick its butt, whatever it is that we're struggling and that we're up against. We're going to kick its butt, whatever it is. This is wonderful news. This is awesome news. We are going to surpass our own expectations of victory in this and have a victory of God's proportion, of God's design. He will enable us. He has made us more than conquerors. More than conquerors. The bonds of pain and sin cannot keep us. God, through his Holy Spirit, enables us to conquer this. But Pastor Meg, I'm not feeling it. Yeah, I know. That's okay. We aren't going to always feel like conquerors. We aren't always going to feel God's presence like I did that night so long ago, and I wish he would do over and over again. But if God did that every day, it would be normal. We wouldn't appreciate it. We wouldn't understand the miracle it is. We wouldn't understand his power like we should understand his power if things were that easy all the time. So how do we deal with this? How do we live on a daily basis knowing that God is with us and that we're not alone, okay? Well, first, you got to know God. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, you got to have a relationship with Christ. You need to know him. You need to ask forgiveness of your sins. If you haven't done that yet, talk to me today before you leave. Don't leave here without doing that. Or maybe you've got a sin struggle that's going on and it's keeping you from him. Don't let that struggle keep you back. Remove it so that you can feel him there in your life again. And you must lean on God's promises. When you're not feeling it, you need to lean on his promises. Like today's passage, God is for us, God has chosen us, God has justified us. God makes us more than conquerors. I need to dwell on those promises and soak myself in those scriptures when I am not feeling it. You see, faith and Christian maturity don't grow in green pastures. They just don't. They grow in the midst of difficult days. And we must remember that God is working through these difficult days, even if we can't see him and we can't feel him. His word promises us that he is there. He never sleeps. He doesn't slumber. He's always at work, even when we can't see it. And we need to remind ourselves, we need to look back and remember the times that God has given us victory in our lives. We seem to take those things for granted. Turn around, guys. Look, what has God already done for you? And remind yourself that he has delivered you countless times and met your needs. He's done it. Remember that. And then, if you're having a hard time with that, go into his word and look at the times when God has given victory over things that were completely hopeless. Hello, his son died on a cross, died, was buried, came back. If God can do that, he can certainly manage your situation. It may not be how you want it managed, but he can manage your situation. Remind yourself that God is so much bigger than we give him credit for on a daily basis. Our minds are finite. We limit him so much. If we really know God and we really know his words, we're going to understand that he is so much bigger than anything that we can possibly comprehend. And we need to lean onto that and lean into it when you're not feeling it. I mean, we all want that glorious, miraculous victory over our pain and sin struggles. We all want that. I want God to do it again. It hasn't happened. But we all want that. But most often the Christian life isn't like that. It's a process, guys. It's a process, and we're all in process of doing and trusting God on a daily basis, waiting patiently for that victory. He's promised it to us. If not here, then later. God's word promises that he is with us. Now, we have a song, and Shelby and Marie, you can come start getting ready for that. I'm going to share with you. From the moment that I started working on this message, this song just kept playing over and over and over in my head. So I felt, okay, God, you must be telling me we need to hear this song. We need to listen to these words, okay? We need to let them sink into our soul. Daily trusting that God is there with us because his word tells us so, even when we don't feel it. Now, today, if you're holding tight to God, great. But if you're holding tight to your struggle, it's time to let it go. If you're struggling, I'm going to ask you to put down your struggle today. Put it down, okay? Leave it here. Put down your pain. Leave it with God. He's more than capable of dealing with it. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. And you need to trust confidently in what you know of God because he is here with you. His word tells us so. And I'm going to suggest something, okay, that North Park hasn't done in a long time. And this is going to take a little bit of courage, but I'm suggesting if you're not feeling him near with you today, that you come down here and you pray. Oh, my goodness. Leave my seat and go pray. I can't do that. Oh, for heaven's sake, don't come forward and pray and ask God for help in church. That would just be a horrible thing, wouldn't it? We're in church. You're supposed to pray here. You're supposed to ask God for the help that you need. There's nothing to be ashamed of in asking for God's prayer and guidance. God is bigger than what you're going through, okay? If you need to pray, pray. No one's going to bother you. No one's going to say, I might come pray with you. But you need to leave it here. You need to leave that fear and that doubt here because God is with you. He's with you today. He's with you now. He's with you always. And when you're not feeling it, then you need to know it here. And you're going to have to do the work to keep it there. Go ahead.
Today, but you didn't show.
We'll hold tight to what we know, because we know he's here and we're never alone. Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's here. We're not alone. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that we are never alone. I thank you that your word promises us and gives us your promises that, Lord, you keep. And that we aren't alone, Lord, that you love us so much, that you have provided a way for us to know that you are with us, even when we're not feeling it. Lord, I pray that you would erase any feelings of loss and loneliness from this congregation this morning, that you would replace them with your undeniable presence, your peace that passes all understanding, and the hope that comes from relationship with you, Lord. I ask this blessing on these people, Lord, and I pray that as they go out of here today, that they will not feel that they are walking alone, but they are walking side by side in your presence, confidently knowing that you love them. We ask these things in your name. Amen. If the ushers would come forward and take our tithes and offerings. The usher. Dear God, we ask that you would take the gifts that are being given today and that you would use them and multiply them and bless them in ways that we cannot foresee or understand, Lord. I pray a special blessing over those who are giving, Lord, that you would bless them in return for their sacrifice to your kingdom, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for the ministries of North Park, Lord, and we ask that you would help us as we step forward to make a difference in your kingdom. In your name, we ask these things. Amen.
Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight.
If you would rise for the benediction, please. Lord, we walk out confidently today knowing that you are with us and that we are not alone, Lord. Help us to share your light and your love with the world so that they, those around us, those in our lives know that they are also, Lord, not alone. We ask your blessing over this week, Lord, and we ask that you use us in ways, because here we are, Lord. Send us. Go and be the church.
Because I can't bear to see the man I've been. Rising up in me again, in the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other.